All right, here we go.
Welcome to Dolphin Radio, podcast of Miami Dolphin fans. And now for your host, Brad Michaels.
Welcome to Dolphin Radio. I'm your host, Brad Michaels. This is our third episode. The second one had 5,000 views across all platforms. We want to thank you for your support and for your comments. Let's set a goal for 10,000 listens per episode. That's what we'd like to do. And we need your help. So please like, comment, or share, because we'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from you, our listeners, they are important to us. Now, let's hear from a few of them. Scott Jackson said, we're still looking for a quarterback since 2000. Well, Scott, in a way, I'll agree with you, but we did have Ryan Tannehill. And as you can see, he's having success in Tennessee. I think the problem with Tannehill was he learned, what was it, two offenses in 2 years or three offenses in 3 years, and he was on his back about 50 times a game. So without an offensive line, we weren't able to give Tannehill the time he needed to pass and get plays off to some of the weapons that he did have at that time. I think Tannehill would have been fine, but it is what it is. So I'll partly agree with you. Also, Michael Bell said you had a quarterback and his name was Fitzpatrick. Well, if Fitzpatrick was a good enough starter to actually play in this league, he wouldn't be on his, 10th team? We were his 9th team. So he's a journeyman. He's a backup. I know he wants to go start. He'll probably get an opportunity to start in Washington with the Washington football team. But anywhere else that he's basically been relegated to that backup role because, as we've all said, he's either Fitzmagic or he's Fitztragic. And John Shields thinks that we should draft Jalen Waddle. Cat 5 Kane thinks it's going to be Pitts. Well, I talked about Pitts a little bit last week, and I don't know if some of you didn't understand what I was doing last week, and I was trying to read off of a teleprompter last week. I was talking about what all of the NFL pundits were talking about as far as Pitts being a good pick for the Dolphins at number 3. I didn't agree with that because I don't think Pitts is a tight end. Just because he's going to be a pass-catching tight end was the right guy we needed at the tight end position or the right guy at that pick. I still think it should be a wide receiver, even if we get him at number 6. It's not much of a change. Now, if you'll notice the changes here in the background, it's because we are moving into a new studio. And so that's going to be really nice. This is all going to change. We're going to have some TVs back here for you, stuff back here in the background. I don't know, fat heads, whatever. So it's going to look nice. Now, today on the show, I'm going to sum up the free agency moves to date. I'm also going to focus on the Dolphins in the first round with one of our Dolphin Radio contributors. And so let's go ahead and review the free agency moves that the Dolphins have made to date. All right, first off, I want to get to the Dolphins' very own free agents and what they did with those players. We re-signed Vince Beagle, Landon Roberts, Matt Collins, Adam Pankey, Jason Saunders, Calvin Munson, Nick Needham, and Jamal Wiltz. Now, out of that group, the biggest signing, in my opinion, besides Beagle would be Saunders. And actually, Saunders is even better than the Vince Beagle re-signing because Saunders has shown himself to be one of the premier kickers in this league. All right, departing in free agency, we lose Kyle Van Noy, edge rusher to the Patriots. Now, I don't know what the story was completely with that. I heard that the Dolphins wanted to restructure his contract. They wanted him to stay with the team. He didn't want to take a pay cut. So he's gone. He's going back to the Patriots. We lose Ryan Fitzpatrick to the Washington football team. Ted Karras goes to the Patriots. Matt Hawk goes to the Bills. Gruger Hill, linebacker, will go to the Texans. Devon Godchow, he's going to the Patriots as well. Matt Breida's going to the Bills. Boy, there's a lot of Patriots and Bills. Anyway, and Julian Davenport, who was part of that Laramie Tunsil trade, left tackle, he goes to the Colts. Also, we traded Shaq Lawson, an edge rusher, to the Texans. Still unrestricted free agents or restricted free agents that we have on the roster, Kevon Frazier, DeAndre Washington, Jake Ruddock, and Isaiah Ford. Now, here's the free agency signings that the Dolphins have made thus far. We get Jacoby Brissett, quarterback from Indianapolis, Justin Coleman, a cornerback from the Lions, Brennan Scarlett, linebacker from the Texans, Adam Butler, interior defensive lineman from the Patriots, Will Fuller, the Texans, Matt Sakura, the center, coming over from the Ravens. Seathan Carter, tight end from the Bengals. Michael Pilardi, he is the punter coming in from Carolina to take Matt Hawk's place. And then we've got Malcolm Brown, Duke Riley, and Robert Foster. Those are the free agent signings so far from the Dolphins. Now, we've talked about the Dolphins not being really splashy in free agency. And that's going to bring us up to when we start talking about the draft, because I think that the moves that the Dolphins made in free agency were simply to shore up positions of need where we needed a little bit more depth. And I think if you look across, other than, I'll say the exception of Sakura and Will Fuller, everybody was a depth mood. Sakura obviously will be the starting center day one, barring an injury. And Will Fuller is right now, in my opinion, he's wide receiver one. But we'll see. We're going to talk about this a little bit more in depth. And I think if you look at that, speaking of that word depth, that's exactly what the Dolphins did in free agency. They put depth on the roster, guys that they know can actually play the spots that they're going to be in. And it gives us that added depth that every team needs, because injuries are just a part of the game. So we made some decent free agency moves. We didn't spend like crazy. And now we've got a lot of money still under the cap that we can use to sign our draft picks and then bring in people later on if we lose people to injuries and what have you. All right, so we're going to start talking about the draft. And the biggest thing that happened, obviously, was last week. Now, you know, we normally tape the show Wednesday or Thursday, and then we bring it out to you on Thursdays. This week, you're getting it on Friday just because of our big move here to our studio. And anyway, so the draft moves, this hit last Friday. So we gave up the number three pick that we got from Houston in round one. We traded back to number 12 with San Francisco. For that move, that San Francisco was able to move up and get to our third pick, we get San Francisco's first round pick in 2022, we get their third round pick in 2022, and we get their first round pick in 2023. That's a great trade in and of itself. And I think that the Dolphins were perhaps dealing with another team, the Eagles, and saying, if we can make this particular move and if we can do that, would you be interested in trading out of the six? The trade with the Eagles then was the next thing that hit the news, and it hit like back to back. So what we did was we moved up from that 12th spot that we just got from San Francisco. We move up, we take the Eagles number six. In doing that, we give the Eagles the 123rd overall pick in 2021. It's a round four pick. We also give them the first round pick in 2022 that we just picked up from San Francisco. Then we get the Eagles 156th pick, which is a round five pick in 2021. So that was a great move. Now, like I said, I think that the Dolphins were comfortable if they moved when they moved to number 12, but I think that they had that deal pretty much in place with the Eagles before they formalized everything with San Francisco. So when we get into that number six pick, and that's what we're going to talk about mostly coming up with our contributor, but we'll talk a little bit about the 18th, but that number six pick, it's very important. And I think it narrows down exactly what the Dolphins' mindset is. And we'll cover that a little bit more in the next segment. All right. Welcome back to the next segment of Dolphin Radio. I'm here with our contributor, Lawrence. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate the opportunity. It's been kind of an exciting week with a lot of changes in the draft order.
It's been a lot of changes. And unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to cover that last week when the news hit on Friday, because we were in the midst of moving into this whole studio. But what was the biggest thing that caught your attention when you heard the news that Miami had traded back to 12? And then before the news even sunk in, we find out that they moved from 12 up to six.
You know, both phenomenal moves, I think, from a Miami perspective. Definitely question the Eagles in this whole deal. But, you know, Miami definitely made these deals in tandem, and it was part of some master plan, right? Them moving back was just getting draft capital. And I think they are set for the next couple of years. They do well. A lot of funky things happen in the draft. People that are great don't pan out. But, you know, with this much draft capital, you know, they increase their odds. They have a lot of chances to fill holes without going to an expensive, like, free agency market. The move up really tells me a lot about where the Dolphins are at. And I think, you know, as I look at this year's draft, very quarterback heavy, but the next position group, other than a few standouts in their position groups, is the wide receiver core.
Absolutely is the wide receiver core. And that's, you've heard me talking about this a lot, that no matter what people are saying, people have asked or have said that they think the Dolphins will take a quarterback. People have said they think the Dolphins will take a wide receiver. And then, of course, we covered the Kyle Pitts story. I think the Dolphins, in moving up to number six, I think they're keying in on three different players. And I think that's Smith from Alabama, Ja'Marr Chase. And then if both of those players are gone, I would say at that point is when they'll take a look at Pitts.
You know, I agree. And I think moving up definitely singles in on that wide receiver group. Surprises do happen, so we could all be wrong. But I would agree with those top three players, too. And I think at six and looking at who's in front of them this year, you're probably looking at maybe the second of your pick in that group.
It could be. I think again, though, it depends on, we know that the first three picks now are going to be a quarterback. There's also been a little bit of banter, as everybody knows, that the fourth pick could be a quarterback as well, which would be the first time in draft history that that has happened. But I think when you get down to the fifth pick, that's where we don't know.
Yeah, I think if, you know, as I look across all the mock drafts, I think as you get to the Atlanta position, that's where the craziness in this draft could start, right? Not knowing where they're going to pick. They could go something kind of wild. They could go to Sewell on the offensive line, you know, and fix the Matt Ryan replacement at a later date or deeper in the draft, especially with this many quarterbacks. But that's where it really gets crazy. But I think still at the sixth position, you're looking at one of those three still being available and you being okay with all of those three.
Well, I think that's where the Dolphins moving up to number six, I think they have three players in mind that they're going to be comfortable in having either one of those players. They probably have a favorite. They probably have a second favorite and a third favorite. And if everything plays out the way that they want it to, they're going to get the guy that they really want. And I think that the biggest key to this is, do the Bears go with a quarterback? Do the Bears go with Pitts? If the Bears go with Pitts, I think Cincinnati goes ahead and pulls Ja'Marr Chase.
You know, I think what's been interesting for me this week is I'm watching some of these pro days is I would agree that personally, those would be the three people I would put at the top of that group. But the wild card in this whole thing has been Pitts. You started to hear some news last week, but his pro day was phenomenal. I mean, you're looking at a tight end that's NFL ready, but this guy is 6'5" and 5'8". He weighs 247 pounds and he ran a 4.44 40-yard dash and he went 33.5 on the vertical.
This is a guy that's like John Stallworth. I said that the other day. This is coming back. You're going to have football being played just like John Stallworth played it with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 70s and 80s. So that's what Pitts brings to the game. He's that pass-catching tight end that could really double as a wide receiver. And some people have said he probably wouldn't become a wide receiver in this league.
And it's interesting, as I'm watching this pan out, is for me, Pitts is almost going to the top of this group, and I almost think he's not available at the number six spot. And I think Chase now falls in that second spot.
I think so.
A great catch, a great pickup. If you can get Pitts, I think you take him right now. Those numbers are phenomenal. He's huge.
The numbers are phenomenal, but then again, we already have a pass-catching tight end. It just matters whether or not Flores and Greer believe that he is the game-changer that everybody else seems to think.
Well, I guess that's a good question for you, being, you know, having followed the Dolphins as closely as you had over the years is, you know, a pass-catching tight end when you have one already, but I would almost bring up two things. You can put this guy in the receiver spot, and he's just fine.
Sure.
But also, they seem to mimic the Patriots a lot, and you see a lot of double
tight end set.
But you get the double tight end set, and maybe that's what they're going for.
That could be. And I've said it before, none of us have any idea what Greer and Flores are thinking until they finally make the move. A lot of times it shocks us. A lot of times we question why they made the move. But when we see the results on the field, we know why they made the move.
Brad, I think we're on the hook next week for our mock draft. But, you know, as it stands right now, who do you think they pick at number six?
Again, it depends on what happens in four and five. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm just going to say it's going to be Devontae Smith, wide receiver from Alabama.
I think Pitts is gone at number six, and I think they pick up Chase from LSU.
All right.
And that's it for this week of Dolphin Radio. Thanks for watching or listening. Next week, we'll be covering the entire first round with our very own mock draft, and then we'll see how we do come draft time. In the meantime, help us reach that goal of 10,000 listens per episode. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, or on your favorite podcast platform to listen to us on the go. Also, visit us on the web at dolphinradio.com. Until next week, this is Brad Michaels for Dolphin Radio.
Thanks for watching or listening. And be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. And for more great content, check us out on the web at www.dolphinradio.com.